Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hi, Zweli. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Yes, are you good?
Yes, I'm fantastic. I love that song by Matema.
Oh, man.
What a wonderful way to praise.
Oh, man, it's a beautiful sound. I can tell you, one of my favorite songs, I must tell you that song just takes me places, man.
Yeah, I definitely felt the Holy Spirit in my office.
Oh, man. Now, we're talking about the impact of socioeconomic background on learners. I mean, inequities in health distribution, resource distribution, and quality of life, are increasing, not just in South Africa, by the way, but also globally. And so today, with Zweli Mkai from Career Moves, we want to highlight the connection between socioeconomic status of students and their quality of their studies. Zweli, high achievers come from all walks of life, rich and poor. So I'm not sure what does one's socioeconomic status have to do with their learning outcomes?
So when we talk about socioeconomic status, we're referring to the combination of economic, social, and environmental factors that impact learners. So one of these could be the income level in that household, mm-hmm. parental education, mm-hmm. Employment, and their overall living conditions. Now, in South Africa and across Africa, actually, we're plagued by historical inequalities, usually racial segregations that allowed us to become more impoverished than other groups. And this led to things like access to basic services being denied, household income levels being lower than, our wealthier counterparts, and our parents not knowing as much information and being there to be able to support us. Now, these things impact us in many ways, because what happens when a learner doesn't come from a good background is that they lack school supplies. This includes textbooks and stationery, the technology, or even extra classes or tutoring, whereas private school students have better resources and maybe educational apps and digital learning tools, not even just with the resources, but even nutrition and health. Poor nutrition leads to lower concentration and even increased absenteeism. So there's a lot of ways that now a child who comes from a lower socioeconomic status is now plagued with so many difficulties that make it more difficult to achieve than those in a more comfortable situation and environment.
Okay. Now, what would you say are some of the challenges of both high income backgrounds and low income backgrounds face?
Well, some of the challenges would be like class sizes. So it's not everybody who can afford that affords the best. So even in government schools, we have no fee schools, and then we have those schools where fees are being paid. In such environments, one of the things that can affect learners is either a crowded or noisy or unsafe environment, right? Limited space in the classrooms where there's overcrowding and a lack of focus on each individual. And even parents from either side may not be able to, monitor and supervise their students, their learners, or provide even emotional support for them when they're going through challenges or stress.
Now, what can educators do when they're faced with the reality of limited resources, for their learners in low-income localities?
So that role is very difficult as an educator, because we actually rely on firstly the government, the teachers as well, and as well as people as individual or even parents. But things that teachers can do is, number one, to train and equip themselves so that they can provide better support to their learners. And there are different ways, programs that government has for us to be able to assist. For instance, like the Holy Schools Policy, the National School Nutrition Program. So these are other resources that can assist. And then if it's putting the word out there and educate the public on, quality of education We have NGOs like the Equal Education that fight for better school conditions for our learners. And then, of course, you have our bursary programs, which are prevalent everywhere. So it's not just about finding what's in your district, contacting them and seeing how they can help. And one interesting thing actually is, which I think a lot of parents might not know, is that, for instance, in South Africa, the Department of Education allows for exemptions when it comes to school fees, even if it is a school paying public school. So you have to approach the SGB in that school, and then you ask them for the forms and you ask them for direction and how to apply whatever these criteria that you have to meet in order for them to accept or either reject your application. And if they reject your application with supporting evidence, you can appeal to the head of department of education.
Yeah, and I thank you so much for that. You know, I actually realized that but truly with the educators you know, faced with these students, because some would be coming from seriously abject situations where you know, basic stuff like lights, electricity, you know, and food is not readily available. But hey, God being God, but some of these students excel you know, in the midst of those situations. Now, are educators allowed to, by their code of work, code of ethics, to maybe bring you know, some clothes that they feel would help the students, maybe shoes, you know, stuff like that, socks, or maybe assist that very poor student to at least be in warmer conditions? I'm looking at the period of winter, for instance, where you know, some of the unfortunate pupils could actually be facing literally the cold wind by themselves. Are educators allowed to get into that space?
I believe there's processes in schools. You know, I don't know exactly the policy on that, but you know, with the highlight of what's happening regarding, for instance, the Gwegwe case, I believe that educators should approach rather the SGB and make provisions for, you know, donations and fundraising through them for them to allocate the resources, you know, evenly or in the appropriate manner. Because let's say such interaction is happening between a child and a parent, and perhaps the parent is unaware, you know, it breeds ground for different discussions to take place. So rather to avoid that, I'd rather deal with things through, you know, management in the schools so that they can manage it effectively.
Beautiful. Now, I'm going to leave you, Zweli, but what's one of the things that you would want to, you know, leave with our listeners as we close off the discussion, in as far as this subject is concerned?
I think it really takes a whole village to educate a child. And yes, we know that the government must provide quality education and that parents must support and encourage our learners, and we in each other. You know, education is a team effort, and no one should be left behind. You know, what we do have to emphasize is the equality of opportunity over equality of resources. Everybody deserves a fair chance to fight for their future. Social economics should determine this child's future.
Yeah. Very, very important there. Thank you so much, as William Cry, for joining us this afternoon and really having this very important discussion with us. Blessings to you. Thanks.
Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.